Good afternoon, friends and saints and people of God. I am coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut, and I do have a word on my heart, and I believe that it has some prophetic underpinnings to it. I have purposed in my heart that Wednesday would be a day that I would really put my heart and my mind and my spirit, my soul, my body into considering things prophetic, considering what I believe the word of the Lord to be, considering what other prophets are saying, just meditating on those things, giving myself to the thoughts of such things. And so today I have something that I think can apply to the new year. I am cautious about putting dates on words or saying it's for this year or for that year, because I've seen more often than not that those things miss more often than they hit the bullseye. And it's not that they miss altogether, it's just that they miss as far as the timing. So timing is for a high-level prophet. I don't believe I'm in that category. So I'm cautious about dates. And of course, we know that the Bible says that no man knoweth the hour when Jesus will return. And so for anybody to even go that direction, that they're going to set a date for the returning of the Lord, just it gives them a way that they don't really know their Bible. So before I get into it, I want to just go in prayer to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you, asking you for your anointing, asking you to give me clarity of spirit. Lord, I pray that you would help me not to feel rushed, because I feel this is an important word for your people. And I pray that you would just grace me with the right spirit, a sweet spirit. Lord, that if anything comes of sharpness, Lord, Father, that it or a sound of authority, that it may be from you and not of myself. In Jesus' name, I ask it and I pray. Amen and amen. Going to start this by just reading a passage of scripture, a Bible story out of the book of Acts. And before I do, I'll let you know a little bit about where I'm going. I believe that the Spirit is saying that it's time for the people of God at all levels, wherever you fit in the scheme of things in the body of Christ, because of the hour we're in, because of diabolical, demonic activity, it's time for God's people to recognize their jurisdiction. Your jurisdiction is the realm in which you personally have authority. Now, prophetic words can give you a vision of the authority that you will someday walk in. And sometimes this is where the prophetic fails the people of God. And it's because there's a lack of teaching to let you know that you need to occupy until those prophetic words come that declare great things over your life and great position and great authority. You need to know that the Lord expects you to walk in the place and minister in the place of your jurisdiction. What the word went from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the other uttermost parts of the earth. And that's a principle. They started locally and they branched out from there. And I think that's in the book of Acts. And so I want to read a passage of scripture where someone who was not even a godly person, at least there's no indication that this person was a Christian or knew the Lord, but they knew their jurisdiction. And because they knew their jurisdiction, they have power to quell a riot. They have power to speak peace into the situation. Now, I also want you to catch, as I go through this passage of scripture, how connected it is to things that are happening in our day. And well, you'll see as we go along, and I'm going to take my time. If you don't have time, this isn't the right time for you to be listening to this, because I expect this is going to be a good 40 minutes to an hour long. So doesn't usually happen, but there are times when it does. And so we're going to start reading in the book of Acts, and in the 19th chapter, and let's start reading at verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, and there had been a lot of activity in the first 20 verses of Acts, and on your own you can read that to get a little bit more background of the scene at that time. But in verse 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Let me see what version this is I'm reading from. Yep, it's King James. I'm a King James stickler. Okay, I'm reading from the Bible Gateway just because it's big and bold and my eyes are not the greatest and it's easier than flipping pages. So, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time, now notice he had purposed in his heart to go, but the Lord restrained him for a bit. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. In other words, they were in, there was turmoil in the city because of the gospel. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. He was making money, making idols and little images of shrines for Diana. And so he called together with the workmen of like occupation, others who were doing this, and said, sirs, you know by this craft we have our wealth. Just think about our society today. Those who have an agenda band together. Those who have a reason to protect their money band together and bond together. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all of Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And there have been dogmas of men that the world has been running after, and we are seeing even at this time that these things are being turned on their head, one country after another. And believe me, the root of it, the root of all evil, the root of this is power and money and what men, believe me, these people don't care one whit about the little guy. They don't care about the hard worker. They don't care about those in poverty. They just care of the end result that they will line their pockets of money, and I don't have to name names or name political parties or even name worldviews for you to get what I'm saying. Moreover, you shall see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And this is what we're seeing throughout our country, throughout even the world, where there are episodes of chaos and confusion and rioting and people rushing on certain ones to accuse them and to make villains out of them because they've got a certain agenda. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. In other words, they didn't want Paul to get into this mess. They wanted to protect him. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. And again, here was Paul, who was a person who had a recognized position in the body of Christ, in the church. He was an apostle, and they were protecting him, and they didn't want him to go and get involved. And listen to this verse, and this is so particular, so illustrative of what is going on in our day. Verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And that's what we're seeing in some of the riots that are happening. There are people, whether it's Black Lives Matter or, you know, over the election results, there are people who are coming together because they've been hired to come together. They've been hired to riot, and they don't even know what it's all about. They don't even have a clue. They don't understand why they're rioting. They just know that they looked up and found an ad and somebody offering to pay money. And so they're showing up, they're hired rioters, and they're showing up, and they're just adding to the confusion. And then it says, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand, and it would have made his defense unto the people. But that when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And that could be almost, in our day, like looking and saying, but when they knew he was a supporter of Trump or a Republican or a Christian, that the mob gets louder and more boisterous and more vicious, and they're going to overshout you and shout you down. Now, here's what I want to look at in particular, verse 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no course whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. And what I want you to see is that there was a town clerk. He was on the local level. He had jurisdiction, and he had the authority to quell that crowd, to appease the people, to calm things down, to quiet things down. And now, the town clerk, he wasn't the mayor. He wasn't the head of the city council. He was just the town clerk. The town clerk is the one who's like the scribe of the town. He keeps the records, and if you want to get something notarized, you would go to the town clerk. He's low level, but he had enough jurisdiction that he could take care of that crowd, that he could speak to that crowd, and he could quiet down the disturbance. And had he tried to manifest his authority that he had in a bigger situation that wasn't just in that particular area, but maybe he tried to go through all of Asia and heralded it out, his word and what he thought people should do, or tell people how to act, he would have fallen on deaf ears. But he had authority in that jurisdiction, and because he had authority, he was able to quiet down the uproar and the riot. And now this is just talking about some man in some natural situation, but I want to talk about how things are in the spirit. You have a realm of authority. You have a realm of jurisdiction as a Christian in the spirit, and it may increase as you walk with the Lord, as you're proven faithful. That jurisdiction may increase, but you have an immediate jurisdiction. And too many people are overreaching for power and for recognition, and they're missing their place of power and where they should be occupying, where they will have authority and where they will have benefit and do the most good and even keep other problems from happening. Now, we don't know what this town clerk prevented by speaking into the situation with the authority that he had. Say he hadn't come. Say he hadn't moved in his authority. Say he had just said, well, I'm going to see her and see how this all plays out. And he hadn't stepped in. Maybe people would have died. Maybe people would have been in the hospital. You don't know. And maybe things like that already all actually did happen. But he intervened at a certain time and he was able to bring it. He had the words to speak peace into this situation. And you, in your household, you have the word of the Lord to speak peace into the situation, whatever is rearing its ugly head. Now, I listen to, I feel, I've said this before and I'll say it now. I feel that as God's people, we ought to give honor where it's due. We ought to be careful not to be thieves with the word of the Lord. And by that, I mean stealing something and presenting it like it's your own when it's not your own. And this morning, the Lord, when I woke up, as I told you, I feel that on Wednesdays I'm to be considering prophetic things and to be praying into the word of the Lord, praying to see what the Lord will speak to me on whatever level he wishes to speak. And this morning when I woke up, and lots of times I am led to listen to certain preachers. So today I felt the Spirit speak to me to listen to Billy Brim. She's a sister in the Lord. She works closely with Ken Copeland's ministry. And I've always been blessed by her ministry, but I'm not such a follower that her name is always right on the tip of my brain. I'm not one of her groupies. So when I felt the Spirit speak to me, I thought, well, I'm going to heed this word and I'm going to find something. And first thing I did was I thought, well, sometimes she's on the Voice of Victory on their broadcast. I'll check there first to see if she's on today. And I didn't see any evidence that she was on. So I went into YouTube and I purposed in my heart to find the latest broadcast I could. And she was speaking on with Gloria Copeland on spiritual authority. And this was right after I had read this passage of scripture in Acts about this town clerk who knew his or her authority and was able to bring peace to a situation. I listened to Billy Brim after reading this and what she was saying about spiritual authority, and she wasn't even going down this road as quite the same as what I am, but the Lord used her to confirm to me what the Spirit was saying. And she also referenced a lot of book called The Authority of the Believer by John McMillan. Apparently it's a classic. I'd never heard of it, but I think I'm going to try to get it. But she did reference scriptures in Ephesians 3, 10, 9, 10, 11, around there. And the authority that we have as believers and being seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and how we need to stay seated in our place of authority in order to be effective. And all those things are true, but I'm focusing in on saying, don't miss what the Lord is doing. And I believe that I want to bring this as a word of the Lord to the people of God in the context of everything that's going on in our society, that if you will rule well your own house in the Spirit, and believe me, to try to control people is the wrong way to go about it. To try to put rules and regulations and orders on people to do what you think they should do, to enact and react and work out and unveil their own Christianity according to what you believe it should look like, you will be disappointed every time. Every single time, you'll be disappointed. Someone doesn't quite sing the right way. Someone doesn't quite pray with the right intonation. Someone doesn't read the scripture, or they wear the wrong clothes. You know, when you go to the outward appearance and the outside things, you'll just be disappointed in people every time. The Lord's not telling us to take authority over people. He's telling us to take authority over spirits and over evil spirits and over demonic activity. and do it early in the day. Start early in the day to get your bearings in the spirit and to let the enemy know where he is not going to be able to manifest himself or rear his ugly head. Now, let's say in a community, I live in Windsor, Connecticut. Let's say that in this town, in every house of the Christian, of born-again Christians who know their authority in the Lord Jesus Christ, were to wake up early and say, this day, in Jesus' name, there's going to be peace in my home. I'm not going to see a manifestation of anger. I'm not going to see a manifestation of alcoholism. I'm not going to see a manifestation of drugs. I'm not going to see a manifestation of moodiness and sullen spirits. So you just go down the list, whatever afflicts your family, whatever you're dealing with, and you declare in Jesus' name and you speak to the principalities and powers. They have no right, that Jesus Christ has given you the right and the authority to rule in that situation. Believe me, it's going to affect the whole city. It's going to affect not only your household, but in time, you will see that the authority you take on the local level will affect your whole community. So I think this is one of the reasons that when Paul was speaking to Timothy about eldership, he was talking a lot about how one who is an elder or desires the work of an elder must rule well his own household. And after getting a little more insight into the spiritual realm, I really feel that Paul was imparting to Timothy an understanding of this, not only the authority as that he would have as a parent or as the leader over his fellowship there in Ephesus, but the working of the Lord in the realm of the Spirit through his people to take authority over those things, because everything has a spiritual root. Behind everything that we see operating, there is a spiritual root. And behind these things that we see operating in our government and in places of authority right now, and it is time in prayer to recognize and to speak truth to power. There's a saying, speaking truth to power. With the transition going on, that's one of those catchphrases. Oh, he's not afraid to speak truth to power. Well, in Jesus' name, don't be afraid to speak truth to power. And especially because the power of the enemy is limited. He does not have the same power as God. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-seeing. He's limited in his ability. And you can speak truth to power. And the truth to the powers of darkness is the truth that he is a defeated foe and he has no right to continue to unsettle or upset your household or the area where you have jurisdiction. Maybe it's a problem in your immediate neighborhood. Maybe there's friction between neighbors. You can take authority. You can get up in the morning and you can say in Jesus' name, I speak peace to my street this day. I speak peace to Thomas Powell Boulevard this day, or whatever street it is, you speak peace to it. You speak that the enemy will not get away with what he's intending to do, that you are not ignorant of his devices. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, now I just want to hold steady in the spirit for a minute. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, something else that was quickened to me today, because these are perilous times, these are fearful times, and I do not want to discourage anyone who is of a mind and a heart and a burden to pray about bigger things, bigger issues, powerful people in powerful places in the government, people in high positions, and all those things that Corinthians tells us that we have authority over. I don't want to discourage you from in the spirit reaching for higher levels of exacting spiritual authority, but you got to be careful that you are not
being so focused on the bigger picture that you're missing the power you have in your own jurisdiction. Another thing is that you don't know, but that when someone, there is someone in your own household, a son or a daughter or a husband, a wife, someone in your own household who is going to be used of the Lord in greater ways, and their advancement depends on your being faithful to your spiritual jurisdiction. Occupy till I come. That's a military term. Occupy till I come. Jesus said, occupy till I come. You got to keep busy about the kingdom right where you are and not be always so focused on what's coming that you miss what the Lord has for you in the here and now, what the present word of the Lord is in your present family. I've been guilty of terribly missing ruling and reigning in my own personal jurisdiction, and that is something that is changing by the word of the Lord, by the rhema word of the Lord. I feel it, an impartation from these scriptures I read. I'm looking at myself as the town clerk of my house, and I'm going to speak peace where there's not peace and where there's turmoil in the realm of the spirit. It's not like we're some mob scene here fighting and going crazy and mad over money or whatever like those people were. But I'm just talking, you got to understand that these things in the natural are to teach us lessons in the spiritual. And so, Lord Jesus, is this enough? Maybe this is not to be as long as I thought. But recognize the place of your jurisdiction. Recognize where you have authority, where you have immediate authority that you are to be expressing and manifesting and moving in, that you see God's purposes come to pass, not being a bully over people. God never called anyone to be a bully. God never called anyone to terrorize the people of God with bullying tactics. And that's another whole message. But in the realm of the spirit, just your presence should speak authority to the spirits and the powers that be round about you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Father God, now you see, Father, where we're at in the political scene, on the national stage, Lord, the horrible activities that are going on to undermine, Lord, what you have done, Lord. The enemy certainly comes in to make a second claim. But, Father, we take authority in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, that our immediate atmosphere will speak peace to all around about us. Our immediate context will come under the domain of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, and when we have handled that and effectively seen that realm of our lives in order, then God, we do go on to dealing with bigger things in Jesus' name. And we do go on to speaking, Lord God, into situations, Lord, that can only come down and can only be dealt with in the place of prayer and by those who are strong in the spirit, Lord, who have the word of the Lord richly dwelling in them, who can speak truth to power, Lord God. And not only God telling someone who's in authority politically what they should and shouldn't do and tell them the truth about what they're doing wrong, we're speaking about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what you have to say about our country, Lord, to those who would unseat what you would do, Lord, and stop and hinder your purposes, God. Father, you have promised us revival, Lord. You've promised to sweep through this land once again. And Lord Jesus, that is a truth, Lord. Father, we believe it by the word of the Lord, that it is your word and it is truth, God, and it shall come to pass. And no power on hell, God, is going to hinder what you will do, Lord, for a people that walk with you and know you and love you. And Lord, desire, Lord, your fulfillment of your word, Lord, and are loving enough to obey you, God, even the still small voice. God, in the levels where we are, help us to walk it out in the level and the place where we are. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, give your peace this day. Lord, let this speak to some heart that needs to hear it. Lord, I know certainly it has spoken to my own heart. And Father, it's spoken to my heart in such a profound way that I'm anxious to obey it. I'm delighting in obeying it. I'm delighting in seeing what you will do when I take the authority you have given me in the jurisdiction you have given me, just like that town clerk, Lord, in the book of Acts in the 19th chapter, that town clerk who was able to quiet the riot, Lord, because that person had jurisdiction. Lord, in Jesus' name, we take our jurisdiction, we take it seriously. Lord, whether it's just the kitty cat and me, Lord God, Father, in Jesus' name, we take it seriously, and we're going to walk in what you've given us to walk in. And then, Lord, you'll lead us into greater things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.